Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verses 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we bless you for the reminder that we have a hope in heaven. And Lord, I pray if there are some present this morning that lack that certainty, Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to those hearts, that they might come to the Christ this day. And Lord God, prepare us for the eternal. Oh God, help us to live in light of eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to address the issue of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity, what does it look like? What does it look like? God's word is the key to spiritual maturity. God's word taught faithfully, fully, accurately, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will change lives. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it talks about the fact that God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish all that God has in mind. It will prosper wherever it is sent. Isaiah 55, verse 11. If these believers here in the church at Ephesus were to stand against the evils and of the worldliness around them, they needed a measure of spiritual maturity. Paul prayed that God's people here within this church might be full of the fullness of God. Go back to chapter 3, verse 19. The second part of that verse reads, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a good summary of what spiritual maturity is. Being full of the fullness of God. With gifted men given to the church, as it reads there in verse number 11, we have already studied the fact that the apostles and prophets mentioned here were foundational gifts given to the infant church. But with the completion of the scriptures, these gifts are no longer needful nor present. But yet we still have today evangelists and pastors, teachers. And last Sunday morning we studied the office of the evangelist and the pastor, teacher, and how God has gifted the New Testament church with these gifts of the Spirit to certain individuals. To what end? That spiritual maturity might prevail. That spiritual maturity might prevail with men gifted of God to the New Testament church that faithfully minister the Word of God, then maturity is possible. And this is the focus from verses 12 all the way down to verse number 16. Spiritual maturity, what does it look like? Paul will answer this question within these verses. Spiritual maturity, What does it look like? If the word of God is preached faithfully, and if God's people with softened hearts are receiving and in the power of the Spirit seeking to apply the word of God to their personal lives, what does this maturity look like? This fullness of God, as verse 19 reads of chapter 3, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does this maturity look like? Well, first and foremost, note with me in verse number 12 that maturity is seen in fruitful service. Spiritual maturity is seen in fruitful service. Note there in verse number 12, the word, the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. God has given to the church evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. A saint is a person that has received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. A saint is not dead, a saint is alive biblically. And for you and I that are in Jesus Christ, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ, we are called saints and we are part of God's family. And God has given these spiritual gifts, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, to the church for the perfecting of the saints. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those that have received Jesus Christ as Savior. So maturity is seen, according to verse number 12, in fruitful service. In fruitful service. The word perfecting there means to mature. It means to make fully ready, to be prepared, to be prepared. Now we read in the New Testament of the fact that believers are to move from digesting the milk of God's word to digesting the meat of the word of God. Going from liquids to solids is a mark of maturity on a physical level and also on a spiritual level. And if we are maturing in Jesus Christ, then we are prepared, we are made ready, and verse 12 goes on to read, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. Equipped, qualified to fulfill our ministry. The Bible teaches that God gave gifts unto all men. And we have stressed that fact as it's reaffirmed there in verse number 8, and gave gifts unto men. In accordance to God's riches, we have all been given at least one dominant spiritual gift. Now, the context here of Ephesians 4 is in reference to gifts given to the church. God has given the church the gift of the evangelist and the gift of the pastor teacher, and thereby comes maturity. But God has given us all spiritual gifts. If God hasn't gifted you with a gift of the evangelist or pastor teacher, you have a spiritual gift. And if you are maturing as a Christian, you will be equipped to use your gift for God's glory. So besides these two main gifts mentioned here in verse number 11 that are present today, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Here in Romans chapter 12, we have a concise list for us of what we refer to as service gifts. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, and maybe God hasn't called you to be an evangelist or a pastor teacher, you have at least one of these gifts. And if you are maturing spiritually, God would have you to use, and you are using your gift, then the church will be edified. The church will be built up. Now, note with me here in Romans chapter 12, from verse 5 it reads, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Now that little phrase there sounds very familiar, does it not? Because in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So it's the same author that God used in the penning of the book of Ephesians as the book of Romans. So we have a similar little phrase here, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." The key phrase is "of faith." This is in reference to the gift of prophecy, where God gives some individuals this boldness to preach the word of God, to preach the counsel of God. It's not in reference to predicting the future. We have God's word in our presence now. From Genesis to Revelation, we have the canon of Scripture. And a person that has the gift of prophecy is not backward in coming forward in preaching the word of God. And we need prophets today, do we not? We need people that are bold and they say, "Yes, thus saith the Lord, black is black, white is white, grey is an artificial colour, and we need to obey the word of God." Some of you have the gift of prophecy, and if you will use that gift, the church will grow. Thank God for the prophets. Thank God for the prophets. But God has not only given the gift of prophecy, note then verse 7, the gift of ministry or serving. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. A person that has the gift of serving or ministering is eager and keen, looking for opportunity to serve. They have initiative 101. They can spell it, they know what it means, they meditate upon it, they love it, love it, love it. They're looking for opportunity to serve. This is a person that has the gift of ministering. Then note then verse number 7, it makes reference to teaching. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the pastor teacher. A pastor is a teacher, but a teacher is not necessarily a pastor. Okay? If a pastor cannot teach, then there's a question mark over his calling. Pastor, teacher, one of the same. But yet there is the gift of teaching. A person that has the gift of teaching loves to study. They love to study the Word of God. They love to break it all down and to convey to others what they have learnt. And they have the ability to break down the Word of God into digestible pieces. This person has the gift of teaching. Then note then verse number 8, the gift of exhortation or encouragement. What a wonderful gift that God has given to some of His people. The ability to lift people up. We all need to be lifted from time to time, do we not? And if God has given you the gift of exhortation, what a wonderful gift. The ability to lift people up spiritually. The gift of exhortation. But also note then verse number 8, the gift of giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or with openness, generosity. There are those that are gifted with this ability of just wanting to give. They're looking for opportunities to give. They're giving things away all the time. They have little boxes stored up under their beds where they're accumulating gifts and things. And because they're looking for an opportunity, they can't wait for the next opportunity to give somebody a gift. Is that you? Is that your desire? Gift of giving. Thank God for givers. Those that have the gift of giving. They're looking for opportunity to give. They're not stingy. They're not scroogey. They'll give the shirt off their back if they had the opportunity. Gift of giving. Thank God for them. But also note then verse number 8. He that ruleth with diligence. This is in reference to order, administration. Some have the spiritual gift of administration. Have the ability to organize. I mean, we're all to be orderly and organized, but some have a unique ability to administer. These are spiritual gifts given to the church. Then there's the gift of mercy. This is the individual that you would like to visit you in hospital. They'll empathize with you. They'll hold your hand and they might even stroke your hand and they'll have some prayer with you. They love doing that sort of thing. The gift of mercy. These are gifts, spiritual gifts. And beloved, listen to me. If you have received the gift of God, which is eternal life, you have at least one of these spiritual gifts. What are you doing with it? Well, Pastor, I've got no idea what my gift is. That's negligent. That's negligent. You mean that God has given you a gift and you don't even know what that gift is or where it is? That's negligent. That's very sad. And God has given all of us spiritual gifts that are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible talks about God has given the church evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the maturing of the saints so that they will do the work of the ministry. They will be equipped to serve Almighty God. So in other words, God has given each one of us at least one dominant spiritual gift. And if you are being matured with the teaching and preaching and ministering of the Word of God, then you will be equipped to exercise that gift for God's glory. So with God's Word taught accurately, we are equipped to serve our God using our spiritual gifts. And note that at the end of verse 12, it talks about for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. The building up of the body of Christ. The church will grow not only spiritually, but the church will grow numerically if you and I are doing our part in exercising our gifts for God's glory. In other words, for those of us that have the gift of prophecy, if we are prepared to boldly and courageously proclaim the Word of God, it will benefit the church. For those of us that have the gift of giving, if you will be generous in your giving, in other words, you have that gift and you generously give, this will aid spiritual growth. If you have the gift of giving, for example, and you give an individual a Bible or a spiritual book, out of a heart that just wants to give, that Bible or that spiritual book that you've given as a gift could well lead to spiritual growth. Serving, you have the gift of serving, and you're prepared to transport people to church so that people will hear the word of God, they will grow. Mercy, showing compassion, teaching, helping people to understand the word of God so that they can obey the word of God. Administration, preparing the stage for God to work in and through ministry. God will use your gift to build his church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Beloved, if you and I are maturing, then we will have a fruitful service for God. It will be seen in fruitful service. Is your life fruitful? That's the question. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. God's word is the key to spiritual maturity. Note here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The word of God is profitable to give us our teachings. All that we need to know is found within the scriptures. For reproof, the word of God has the ability to show us where we have gone off track. For correction, the word of God has the ability to show us how to get back on track. And for instruction in righteousness, the word of God has the ability to show us how to stay on track. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now look at verse 17. That the man of God, that is the child of God, the Christian, may be perfect, mature, ready, prepared. To what end? Look at verse 17. Thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. So here's the same principle. God's word is the key to maturity, and when maturity prevails, we are equipped for effective service. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 12, the Bible talks about the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Maturity is seen in fruitful service. What does maturity look like? It is seen in fruitful service, where a person is maturing spiritually to the point that they are using their spiritual gifts, and as a result, the work of the ministry is being carried out and the church grows. Is your life fruitful? It won't be if you're not serving nor using your spiritual gift that God has given to you. Yes, it's true. All of us should be organized. All of us should be teaching. All of us should be merciful. All of us should be giving. All of us should be prophesying. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then all the above will just be second nature. But yet at the same time, listen to me carefully, you and I have a dominant gift from God. And in understanding what that gift is, if I'm using that gift, the church will grow for the edifying of the body of Christ. Maturity is seen in fruitful service. But also note with me in verse number 13, please, of Ephesians chapter 4, that maturity is seen in Christ's likeness. God has given the church, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, to be the medium by which God's people are matured to the point of being equipped, ready to serve, and therefore there is growth. But also God has given the church, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. It is the responsibility of the evangelist when he ministers in a church to teach sound doctrine. And it's the responsibility of a pastor teacher to teach sound doctrine, to teach truth, that we might come into the unity of the faith, that we might have an understanding. This is truth. This is truth. In holding the same body of truth, truth is the basis of maturity. Truth surrounds the person of Jesus Christ. See, that's why verse number 13 goes on to read, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Truth is the basis of maturity. Truth surrounds Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the central theme in the scriptures. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And beyond growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, growing in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what this little reference here in verse number 13 is talking about. Of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature individual, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So spiritual maturity is seen in effective service. Spiritual maturity is seen in Christ-likeness. Understanding, knowing more about Jesus Christ, and God has given us all that we need to know within the pages of Scripture about Jesus Christ. And it's the responsibility of the evangelist, the pastor, teachers, to so teach the Word of God that God's people would become more like Jesus Christ. And if you and I are maturing spiritually, we will be growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we will be growing in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul made reference to his desire to know him, to know Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. See, it is the truth of God's word that changes lives. Error doesn't change lives. If the truth of the word of God is not being taught, there cannot be spiritual maturity. Store that one away. When the truth of the Word of God is not being taught, there cannot be true spiritual maturity. People can look good on the outside. That's easy. We all know how to look good outwardly. We might not do it, but we know how to do it. But true inward maturity comes through truth. And when a pastor teacher faithfully preaches the Word of God, you are being given truth. That truth is the medium to Christ likeness. Truth centers in Jesus Christ. To grow in the knowledge of Christ and to grow in our personal relationship with Him. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 3, we have a reference to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Christ. And the Bible teaches us he was of little stature. Therefore, he climbed up in a tree that he might see Christ, because he was of little stature. But beloved, as we grow in the stature of the fullness of Christ, this will give evidence of maturity. A stature or a statue is something that is displayed. Christ Jesus can and should be displayed in your life and my life if we are maturing in and through receptive spirits, receptive to the Word of God. But the Word of God has to be proclaimed faithfully. And then the opportunity is there for you to receive the Word of God with thanksgiving, and thereby there will be maturity. Maturity. God charges the evangelist, pastor, teacher to teach the Word of God, so change into Christ-likeness will take place. See, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, they were first called Christians. The disciples were first called Christians. Why? Because they lived as if they were little Christ. They reflected Jesus Christ. Disciples were called Christians. Disciples, when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you're referred to as a disciple. And once you and I live like Christ, then we are worthy of being called a Christian. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. When was the last time somebody called you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Because after they observed the way that you conducted yourself, they were puzzled. And they were game enough to charge you a Christian. What a privilege. What a privilege. We can be as close to our God as what we want to be. In the book of James, we are given the promise, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Do you pursue God? Do you want to know Him? I trust that you are spending time daily in the Word of God, seeking to learn more about your God and seeking to be changed into His likeness. And I trust that you attend church because you want to know more about God. And you want to be changed more into His likeness. See, spiritual maturity is seen in effective service. Spiritual maturity is seen in Christ's likeness. Christ's likeness. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. When were you last identified as a Christian as being different? It's the word of God that leads to maturity, beloved. And you and I need to fill our lives with the word of God. And we have the privilege of assembling together as a church family weekly. And I trust that you attend church with an open heart, wanting to grow, wanting to mature. And if your heart is open and receptive, then you will be fed with truth. And that will amount to effective service. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the church will grow. But also the word of God is the medium to Christ's likeness. Christ's likeness. As it reads then verse 13 once again, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man. This maturity is summed up unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ's likeness. Maturity is seen in Christ's likeness. May God grant us the grace to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to take that to heart and take personal responsibility for our own growth daily. And also as we assemble collectively within the church of God, I trust that you come with an empty platter, wanting to learn, wanting to grow. And if the word of God has been taught faithfully, then you will leave with a full platter of spiritual food. But it's still your responsibility to consume, to digest it. Only then will there be maturity. Truth is the key to maturity. Thank God for truth. Thank God for truth. And you are where you are at spiritually right now because of the choices you've made thus far. I encourage you to press on and seek to become more like Jesus Christ in and through the truth of the Word of God. Let's bow for prayer.